to Bears on Tap, a podcast about the Chicago Bears presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDown300. And today I'm joined by one of my many co-hosts, but our draft expert, Quentin Butkus Stats. And today we're going to be talking about some offseason stuff, a little bit of the draft, and a little bit of just kind of the stuff that's happened since the last time we talked, which was about 2 weeks ago. But first and foremost, let's check in with our guy, Quentin. Quentin, how are you today, my man?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. It's Friday. I can't complain. Yeah, how about yourself?
Hey, Friday, we got March Madness this weekend. Baseball starts back up next week, and the NFL draft is only a month away. Like, this is not even a month. It's 27 days, I believe. So a lot on the horizon on the NFL front. I was out at NIU Pro Day this week. I got to see, I don't know what Bears scout it was, but I was happy to see that there was a Bears scout at the home base for me. But other than that, I'm excited to see what direction this team goes in the draft and what free agents left out there they can, you know, somehow piece together a somewhat quality roster with.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, I hope this new front office puts a bit more emphasis on hitting on the guys on your own turf. Like, I feel like that's something that Pace didn't put enough emphasis on. Make sure that guy's coming out of NIU, Northwestern, Notre Dame, Illinois,
yeah,
were
Indiana,
right in, yeah, right in their wheelhouse, that they were making sure they did all the due diligence on. Obviously, I don't know who, like, how much they did or didn't scout those guys, but it never felt like they targeted those guys in the draft, which makes me wonder how much they did scout them.
Yeah, and I think, like, I mean, if you look at the most successful colleges, a lot of those colleges are picking right out of their own backyard. And I think, like, not to say, like, you know, we have to pick people from Illinois or Northwestern or Indiana or Michigan or wherever, but I think, like you said, they should do a little bit more due diligence on the home front.
It's just easier to. It's easier for them to get to see these guys and get to know them. They're right there.
100%. Yeah, so I guess right off top, I mean, since I was there and I got to see at least a workout, I know of all four players are going to be at that either the rookie pro day or like a separate workout. And one of them was a punter Matt Ferentz, linebacker Lance DeVoe, fullback, super back, everyone's back, Mr. NIU, Clint Rakovich. Mm-hmm. And then a wide receiver in Tyrese Ritchie. So I thought it was pretty cool that the Bears, to at least pat them on the back, I'll give them that all those players did receive invites because there was only four. So I thought that was awesome. But, yeah, two picks in the second round, a free agency signing that fell through since the last time we talked. So I think let's lead off with that because, like, we were really hyped about it. We thought it was great for Kyrus Tonga because it gives him – you know, a veteran presence still in that room, despite losing what he had before in Bilal Nichols and presumably Akeem Hicks. So we thought that would be a great signing. Larry Ogunjobi failed his physical and will no longer be joining the Bears, which, again, leaves a giant hole in the middle of our defense because at this point in Kyrus Tonga's career, it has not been put on him to be a three-down tackle.
Well, so I'm going to be honest here. I was a little and not to try to make it sound like a good thing, but I was a little underwhelmed when I saw the money that Ogunjobi was going to get. And just like his production, let me put it this way. His stats, when you look at his stat line, are very nice. Yeah. And it makes you wonder, why hasn't this guy gotten paid yet? Why has he bounced from team to team? Like, why has he been in the situation he's been in? And as you start hearing people talking about watching his film a little more and looking at it, he's, you know, for this scheme, they want a three tech who can shoot a gap quick off the snap, and he can do that. But when he doesn't do that, it's almost like he's not even there. He ends up on the ground a lot, and that's, I'm not sure he was worth the money that he got. So I was almost a little relieved when I saw that his physical kind of wiped out the contract. Very unfortunate for him regardless, though. You know, it's probably not a fun moment for him or Ryan Poles.
100%, yeah.
Anyone. Matt Eberflus.
It's like he came with a receipt. He came with one of the big ass CVS receipts, and we had to bring him back to the store. So,
yeah,
it is what it is. It happened at a good time though, because we can move on from that. You know.
Now they did sign a guy in his place, which we hadn't talked about pre-show. Just dawned on me. A guy from the LA Chargers. They signed a 3-tech from him. I'm failing to remember his name.
They did. Hold on 1 second. Let me pull that up.
But so they did fill that starting role.
They also signed a safety in Dane Cruikshank.
I don't know much about Cruikshank other than that he is an athletic freak. Like, he is on the freak list.
He's on the freak list. Hey, yeah. Let's go.
He's had some a few issues with health.
Yeah.
And that he is a very good special teamer. Those are the main things I know about the guy.
I saw his name floating around on Twitter, and they said he's a really good hitter. Like, he hits hard, too. So that would be great to have in the safety.
He's an ideal strong safety, absolutely, from what I've seen and heard.
That's perfect. So the Bears signed two players in the absence of the pod. Defensive tackle Justin Jones, and then Yeah, but they also signed that defensive end from the Colts. And like the Colts
Al-Kadeem Muhammad.
Yeah, Al-Kadeem Muhammad. He's a quality player too. So like I think the Colts have had good defenses over the last few years, regardless of the results at the end of the season and their lack of ability to find a quarterback. But I think Matt Ryan to the Colts. Haven't gotten a chance to talk about that. It doesn't really affect us much, but just like this offseason has been madden. It has been madden.
Yeah. And it's been insane.
This is going to be my shtick for the offseason. Again, and I state, can we sign a real fucking human being? Like just someone that is like an 87 or an 85 in Madden. Like just someone that's real. Like Kadeem Muhammad is a step in the right direction. I really like that signing. Yeah. And I think one of the signings that I said that like I wanted really bad, obviously he goes to the Rams because the Rams just have every dollar in the NFL. I wanted to see the Bears pick up Bobby Wagner. I think like I thought at the time, like, yo, you I didn't think that he was going to get paid the money that he got paid. So I was completely wrong. 65
million 5 years. No.
I was completely wrong because I thought I called him bargain bin Bobby, and boy, did he not get the bargain bin. He got the Brinks truck. So there's a reason why I do the podcast, and I'm not out there putting together the budget for an NFL team, because Bobby Wagner would be roasting me on a podcast talking about his free agency trips because I didn't offer him enough money. So glad that happened. But I think, like, how much – do you know how much we have left in cap space? Because without signing Ogan
Jones – 24, I think, 24.
They were probably able to sign those two guys with the amount that they were going to pay Ogan Jones, which I think with the two-for-one – with two players that you can count on, whether they're going to be out there every single play, those guys are going to be out there, majority of them. You know, they're not going to be bench players. I think that's always something that is a positive. And two, they pass their physicals. So, I mean, I mean, not to be petty, but you're an NFL player. We don't want you out there if you're not able to pass a physical. It's not safe for you, and it's not safe for the people that you're going up, you know, you're going up against. So,
What's even more interesting is that he hasn't signed anywhere else in the meantime. You know,
I would hope.
So that was what makes me think it must have been a real issue. We changed our minds.
Is there a cause that was released?
No. I would assume it's something with he had a foot surgery, I think, midseason, so or late season. So I'd assume it's something to do with that.
Yeah, also it's probably some HIPAA violation to figure out exactly why, so I don't even know.
Yeah.
Dumb question for me, but So
they also brought in, maybe you guys talked about it last time, the Nicholas Morrow signing.
Yeah, Nicholas Morrow at linebacker, and then my brother's all-time favorite quarterback. He has this fucking jersey. He's got a nickname for him. And honestly, like, it sucks to say it, but like, until the Bears prove otherwise, I honestly think Trevor Siemian, before his contract is up, will play in the game, in an actual game. Like, because, dude, they can't keep a quarterback healthy the way Fields
plays. I mean,
I'm a knock on wood. I'm a knock on wood, but Simeon, I think we'll touch the field. Like, if we had to, all right, if we had to do, let's put some odds on it. Like, would you say that's like, that's at least like a plus 120? It's not like no plus like 500, you know?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think you might get minus money on that.
Yeah, you might get like minus
150. The way Fields plays like Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson, where he's going to take a lot of hits.
Yeah. We don't have the line.
You combine that with a bad offensive line and no wide receivers, he's going to take even more hits. I mean, they need to figure something out with wide receiver, and I'm sure they will. Like, there's still some quality lower level guys, like, you know, not guys that you want as your number one receiver, but guys who are quality number three receivers on any roster out there that they can go after, and that's what I assume they're going to be attacking wide receiver in the draft and signing multiple of those guys after the draft. But they need to get him some help on that front.
Yeah, and I think, too, like we talked about this last episode, I think this is the perfect time for, like, even though we've had a 1,000-yard year from Darnell Mooney, like that breakout, like, I'm here. Like, we all know who Darnell Mooney is. We all praise him for what he does. He is a phenomenal receiver. But, like, let the league know who Darnell Mooney is. Let him get to the Pro Bowl, or you know what I'm saying? Like league-wide recognition. I think that with him being the catalyst in this offense without having crybaby Allen Robinson in there, being a bad influence and a bad teammate and a shitbag, just that last part was uncalled for, but I just had to put that out there. We'll get to that here because we'll touch on that here in a second because – Allen Robinson wanted to afford a family room that looks like mine. And with the contract that he's getting, I don't think he will. And, I have a nice piano in the background. It's
that definitely piano is 15 mil on its own.
Yeah, it's definitely not a street yard banner or background drop. But I think, like, this is a year that I'm definitely picking Darnell Mooney in fantasy. I'm definitely blindly tailing his overs and his touchdown props because I think, like, he is going to have a standout year. And I think developing that rapport with Justin Fields with things like they were working out just last week at Georgia Tech together in the offseason. You love to see stuff like that. So I'm excited to see the growth. But, like you said, absolutely have to make some moves for that room to be in the best position to go out there and succeed. And I think one thing that we've noticed so far in the Eberflus and Poles era is they're signing players that I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but like that are more like those dependable guys. Like they may not be the better player, but you know what you're going to get. And they may be a little bit cheaper, and they can get the job done, just maybe not at the same level as the guy.
Lower risk, lower ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. So, we'll see what
happens. So, like, to touch on the Al-Khadid Muhammad signing a little bit, that's a clear culture builder to me. That's a guy who has been buying into Matt Eberflus' system ever since he was drafted, like 3 or 4 years ago. He's a guy who's been there every step of the way, and he's a guy who's going to come in here and help him build that culture from day one, which I think is an important thing for a new head coach to get onto his roster. A guy who can testify to what these philosophies, these systems, these practices have done for him to younger guys.
Yeah, and I think, like, honestly, the way that I saw, because I know you had your article come out about Eberflus, honestly, over a month before he was the guy. And I remember seeing, like, I saw him in Hard Knocks because I got my new phone. They gave me HBO Max for free. And they had the in-season Hard Knocks, which was pretty badass, a lot different than the preseason. But, you know, you like the preseason one because you get to meet the guy that's definitely not making the roster, but they're pulling into the production room for every single video. But I think from what we've seen so far, even just the way he's conducting himself around other NFL coaches and the people that he's around, you know, when all the coaches got together, he was hanging around with Mike Tomlin. That's who I want my head coach hanging out with, Mike Tomlin. Someone that knows how to win, someone that is culture in the NFL, that knows how to build it from the ground up. And I think, like, with the success the Colts that they've had, given the roster and the adversity that they've had to deal with, I think we have our guy. It's just, will what I'm saying actually go out and happen? And in the history of the Bears, it never has. So there's you know, there's people that are listening, they're going to be like, yeah, we've heard this 50 other times in our life, and every single guy down the line, unless it's Mike Ditka back in the 80s or whatever, you know, Coach Ditka, was, you know, 85, it hasn't worked. And I really just want to see the right fit with the right quarterback. And I think even though we didn't get them out of there last year to have them in for Fields' first year, there's no better time to get the job done than right now, because, you know, the clock's ticking. We don't even have a window. We are in a prison cell still. There's no windows. The window has it, like you said before we started, probably won't open until after next season. And it is what it is. We're kind of in NFL purgatory, if you will.
No, NFL purgatory is when you don't have a quarterback.
Oh shit.
So we got that part at least.
Okay, so we're not in purgatory, but we're like we just climbed out that bitch, bro. Like, we are getting out.
Yeah, we're one step above it on like a 20-step staircase. That's as tall as we are.
Like, your foot is still hot.
Yeah. Man, I'll tell you, the more I listen to Eberflus, just like doing some podcasts and some media appearances lately, it's like the more I feel like I'm listening to Lovie Smith. It's actually like the dude just has a very calm presence to him, and a very, I know, like, very quiet confidence to the way that he talks and goes about stuff, and very matter of fact nature in the way that he answers stuff and the way that he discusses the game. And it's nice to hear. I mean, every time we hire a new head coach, it's always about how nice it is to hear from a guy who's different than the last guy.
Exactly.
And we don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing until a few years down the road. But like, the guy feels like he belongs in the job that he got. It doesn't feel like he's trying to overcompensate for anything. It doesn't feel like he's trying to, you know, be buddy buddy with everybody he talks to. It's just, the guy's just talking football.
Yeah, and I think, like, too, if you follow like the progression of coaches, I think like the timing was right. He's had various other positions, coordinator positions. He's had positional coach positions and all that stuff. And I know we've heard this before, and I've said this before, not when we hired Matt Nagy because I didn't have the podcast then, but, you know, it's good to have a guy. I said it about Sean Desai last year, and I think we got Sean Desai's best punch last year, and I'm almost positive he landed a job somewhere else. But
he's in Seattle as co-DC now, and I thought he did a heck of a job last year for what he had out there.
I think with a new head coach in their first head coaching job, you're going to get a little bit more of that pizzazz. You're going to get a little bit more effort. You're going to see things like Club Dub, but we're not going to see Club Dub again because that was some Matt Nagy shit. You're going to see, you know, Club Flus or something that, you know, Eberflus comes, you know, because he has what was his acronym? His acronym that he, like, lives
Hits.
By? Hits?
Hits.
Yeah.
It's
that's hustle. Football. That's real football guy shit, bro.
Yeah. Oh, he's a football guy through and through. There's no question about that. The thing that I just I feel like with him is it feels like he's earned the opportunity without having become an outcast.
Yeah.
You know, like some guys like Mark Trestman had become an outcast. He earned the opportunity years ago, but he'd become a football outcast who went up to the CFL. And there's guys who stick around so long waiting for their opportunity and kind of passes them by. And it hadn't passed Eberflus by yet, but he'd earned it though already.
Yeah, and he's used to the Midwest. He knows we're a little bit nicer, but we're also a little bit harsher about our football teams. And I think, I don't know, just competitive is what I want to see next year. And I think a big part about the product that we're going to see next year is going to be here in the NFL draft. So I'm going to add a third person, except for that person is not an actual person. It is a beautiful spreadsheet that our guy Quentin put together with potential players that will be available around where our picks are in this year's draft. So I'm going to add this to the stream real quick, and I'm going to let Quentin take over because this is a phenomenal graphic. So let him zoom.
Yeah, so I'll just start talking through it. And this is part of a little Excel database, if you played around with the free agency one that I built, very similar. It'll be put out here in the next week or two, probably, for you to go download for yourself and play around with. This is just one of the features in it. I've basically wasted the last month of my life on this thing, so I hope you all enjoy it when it comes out. Starting off, just the draft picks. We got our draft picks here. Bears got a total of 6 picks, 2 in the second round, 1 third, and not one till the 5th. And then I think 2 6th with no 7th. And really here in this potential targets, it's guys who make sense positionally for the Bears and will be around where they're picking or currently projected to be around where they're picking. So this list is a lot longer than the one that we're actually going to go through. We can sit here and talk about each and every one of these guys, but that would take hours and hours.
For our non-visual listeners, can you go through, just take, like, pick one guy and just read, like, what will be on the list, just because they're not going to be able to see it because they're listening on Apple or Spotify?
Yeah. So the second guy listed here, who we're not going to talk about in the coming minutes, is Lewis Sign. Safety out of Georgia. He's currently got an average big board rank across 5 different big boards I've already put into this thing. There will be a total of 9, I think, by the time I'm done with it, that are averaged together. Average big board rank is 67th. So he's going to be there when the Bears are picking in the second round. Might be there when the Bears are picking in the third round is what it's saying. It's based on analyst big boards, which – there's always some surprises in there, but and the Bears need safety. We have on the right side of this graphic, we also have the Bears pre-draft roster. Right now they have 2 fewer defensive backs than the average NFL team, but they're paying a lot more of their salary cap to the defensive backs right now than the average NFL team, mostly because of Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, I was going to say because of Eddie.
Yeah, but they need a starting safety across from Eddie. You know, I mean, they just signed Cruikshank, who is a guy who has potential, but he's not a guy who's ever proven to be able to start. And I have a hunch that this coaching staff is going to be big on competition.
Yeah, so he's going to have an opportunity to start. So
yeah.
Your hunch is very correct. That's what I was getting at. Like I think like the type of guys that they're signing are those like the kid that transfers to your school and takes your starting spot type guys. But not anything having to do with talent, just off of like grit, like 3-day-old spaghetti in their lunchbox in the training room and just a hard hat. Like just absolute lunch pail guys. But I think for us you have it perfectly put where it's like, yeah, we need help on O line, need a wide receiver. Couple wide receivers, an edge rusher. Obviously, when you lose Khalil Mack, and even
which I'm not even sure edge is that big of a need. I threw it in there because we just traded Mack.
You can find,
but if you're, and I have a bit of a theory that they're going to be shot. They're going to wait a few games and really try to put Quinn up on a pedestal, like scheming him up to get free looks and get some sacks, get some numbers. And try to trade him before the deadline this year.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
Yeah. I mean, if they can pump him up to 6 sacks by the deadline, they'll get something good for him. You know,
contender, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's where their head's at, which at that point you need some more behind him. But right now with Gibson at edge across from him, I'm perfectly comfortable with that personally.
Yeah. So let's go through this feature. These features. So
yeah, let's go to the next one here. The first scouting report we got here is wide receiver out of North Dakota State, Christian Watson. One of my favorite players for the Bears pick. I really hope he is there. Because he's flying up draft boards. This dude is a freak. Just an absolute freak. I mean, he's 6'4", 210 pounds, 39-inch vertical, did 18 bench reps, and runs a 4.3 6.40. He's above average in his agility drills, too. It's just he's a freak.
Talk about how that all ties together with the relative athletic score. And I don't know where his actual ranking was, but with numbers like that, he's got to be in, like, the single-tiered percentile of receivers all time at the combine or wherever he was.
Yeah, so his RAS, that's relative athletic score, RAS, comes in 9.96, which is 9.96 out of 10, basically. Kent Lee Platt on Twitter goes by at MathBomb, made this system, ties all these numbers together from combine, pro day, based on height, weight, arm length. I mean, it factors in stuff like if you have shorter arms, you're going to do more bench press reps. It's comparing you against guys who have arms similar to yours, or you're going to do more bench press reps than a guy with long arms. I mean,
yeah.
Or if you're tall, running a 40 at a certain speed when you're 6'4" is a lot different than running a 40 at a certain speed when you're 5'8". And so it factors in stuff like that as well. So it's basically putting what you did at the combine or your pro day against decent comparables for your size, weight, and saying this out of 10, out of a score of 10, where do you rank relative to your height, your size as an athlete?
And do you think with Watson, his case is that he's moving up because of like things like not necessarily the relative athletic score, but like, let's say one of the things that I always worry about with skill position players from FCS level schools is like, who are they playing, you know? And North Dakota State, I know, shit pumps everybody. So it's like, I want to make sure that when he gets to the NFL, he's not shell-shocked when, you know, he lines up against a guy like Jalen Ramsey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, personally, I think a 4.36 is a 4.36.
Yeah.
Like, that's stuff like that, speed, size like that is going to translate. Whether his, you know, he has the same – type of fight every down. That's something that we won't know till he's out there. But the kid's makeup seems like someone who's not going to have an issue with that. His coaches have praised him for high effort. He's a strong locker room guy. His dad, I believe, played D1 college ball and played some other type of professional football after that. It wasn't NFL, but I think he played somewhere. Yeah. So he's got that background to him, which is something I always love to look for, because it's a guy who's been told his whole life what he needs to do to get there and what it's going to be like.
So he knows what to expect, and he's been working at it too. So.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I love seeing a guy who put up numbers like this with this type of size profile that returns kicks. Cause that just, that tells me personally that it's a guy who like loves the game a little more.
Yeah.
Like he just wants to be on the grass. He wants to be playing. No matter what, he wants to do whatever he can to help the team. He doesn't want to be, he's not just hounding his coach or quarterback for targets. He's saying, I want to do that kick return thing too. You know,
it's always a nice thing. As long as we don't get him killed out there, if we pick him, I'm down for it.
Yeah. No. Well, hey, I'm not saying we need him to return kicks. I just like to see it in these guys, you know, in their background.
Yeah.
This guy is just – he's an outstanding fit for Justin Fields, too. He's just – he is the definition of a vertical threat that you want with a gunslinging quarterback like Justin Fields. Because Fields just wants to murder you. He wants to go downfield. He wants to get 80 yards of play. Like, and this is the type of receiver that does that, that gets that, plays with that mentality well.
Well, and I think, too, if we can get an offense that's catered to the fact that our quarterback, when he left college, was responsible for the most air yards in college football. Like, if we can get an offense that throws more than three passes deep down the field, you can utilize a guy that has that 4.36 speed. Because, like you said, a 4.36 is a 4.36. So, for those of you that don't know, that's almost an entire second faster than me. So, I would be out there on ice skates.
So a few of the things that you'd have to kind of caution yourself with drafting him, though, is he's still learning some stuff as a wide receiver. Like, cornerbacks can trace his routes sometimes. He has some tells. They might be able to jump his routes. He's not always as physical as you'd want to see with that size. You know, he's not Mike Evans out there dunking on everybody. And when you're 6'4", you could be. So that, I mean, that's something that
you want to see him use.
Does kind of, you'd like to see it a little more. And then just his cuts in and out of his route stems and breaks, like, just not, he's not a sudden mover. He's more of a linear athlete, which his testing came in strong for his agility, but it doesn't translate to his routes yet. If it's as good as his testing says, he's still learning how to actually put that on the grass.
Are you saying his routes are more rounded as opposed to like straight line squared off routes? Like, if I had to draw his routes with a pencil, it's not a straight line.
So I wouldn't say that he's curving off his turns. I'd say it's more that he doesn't stop and start suddenly. He isn't taking that turn.
Kind of like a build-up. You know when he's about to make that move because you can see the way he's running.
He needs some extra steps to gather going into a break, or like he can't just be going full speed one direction and turn. Yeah. He needs a couple extra steps. His feet just are not there yet. And his testing says his feet are there, but it's not in his routes yet.
It's not like Tyreek Hill where it's like the Looney Tunes, like
wheel of feet. Where he can he can turn without losing
we can deal
whatsoever. Yeah.
Yeah, we can deal with that. And I think for lack of better terms, the DBs in the NFC North ain't great. Yeah, I know we don't have good DBs for the most part. We have like two. But I mean, I think every team has about one or two and that's it.
Well, and so his athletic testing even tells me it's something that he can physically do. It's just not something that he has the muscle memory down for. It's not something that he has just the mental reps down for. He might still be thinking about his routes while he's out there as opposed to just doing them. It's not like Dakota State was the most pass-heavy offense in the country, you know?
Yeah, well, and the thing is, too, that I guess this is just me being an old man who's yelling at clouds, going back to the fact that they were shit pumping people all the time. You would want your guy to be like, I want my guy playing in one possession games all year long, just because I want to see what he's made of in those situations, you know? And I don't think that, I think some of those situations that he didn't have to deal with because he got spoiled to be on the best team in FCS, but on the reverse end of that spectrum, he is also on the best team in the FCS for a reason. And the way he's shooting up the draft boards, I'm always down to on the reverse end of the spectrum of the free agents that we're signing, to sign these, you know, low risk, high reward guys.
Yeah. You know? Well, and so he was a guy who got pick. Yeah. That would be you'd be looking at this guy with your first, second round pick, I think. Like, he might not be there, but the hope is that he is. I forget why he was under-recruited. He was very under-recruited for some reason out of his control. I was reading about it earlier today, but I can't recall exactly why. If you're curious, it's worth a Google, because I feel like it was a pretty good reason. Like, it wasn't something completely in his control.
I'm going to pull it up right now.
Yeah. I can just go ahead and jump on over to our next guy, who is – one of my favorite players in the draft, Glenbard West Hitter alumni, Alec Pierce, Chicago kid, dad played at Northwestern. His mom played volleyball at Northwestern. Somehow Northwestern didn't offer him a scholarship to play football. He had no Power Five conference offers, actually, somehow, despite being an absolute athletic freak. It actually had a lot to do with at Glenbard West. They run the double wing T jet offense that is a very heavy run. It actually put him in line almost like a tight end a fair amount of the time. So he didn't get to showcase his wide receiver skills as much as he definitely could have. This guy's an absolute athletic freak. He ended up at Cincinnati playing with Desmond Ridder this year. 9.8 RAS, that's out of 10, so very, very strong. The average wide receiver in this class, that's a RAS, is 7.1. He's coming in at, 6'3", 211 pounds, long arms, 41-inch vertical, broad jump 129, 4.4 40. Yeah, so, I mean, 6'3 with a 41-inch vertical. Like, this guy is going to catch over just about anything once he gets up. His agility came in around average, so that's really the downside athletically, and a bit smaller hands than average. But still pretty close to average. His hands came in at 9. The average is 9.4 inches. Yeah. So not detrimental. But something to kind of make note of, yeah. I guess, if you're looking for reasons to knock him. As you said, big frame. He's a tough player. He works the middle of the field. He can play inside, outside. Does well making contested catches. And one thing that I do also like about him is at Cincinnati, because of the way that he played in high school, when he got to college, they weren't completely sure what he was. They just knew he was an athletic freak. So he had to work his way up through special teams just to be playing at wide receiver. This kid has had to work for everything in his football life, and I absolutely love that, especially given his athletic profile. Can make some circus catches and cares a lot about the technique of his game. He puts a lot of work into this stuff. He's not someone who is just going to skate by on his athletic ability. He's a guy who wants to be as good as he can possibly be. And that's a high ceiling with his athletic traits.
Kind of like an Edelman, but way more like athletic, if you will.
Yeah, it is a 5-6 inch taller Edelman who can jump 41 inches.
I think too, one of the things though too is you want players from that Cincinnati makeup, because Cincinnati's the first group of five team to make it to the college football playoff. And you know, you want winning players on your team that go out there and make winning plays in crunch time. And I think I wasn't a huge Cincinnati fan, but I do recall seeing him play and I was impressed. I wasn't too impressed when they played Alabama, but I don't think anyone expected much of Cincinnati in that game.
Yeah. Some of the knocks on him here, press coverage. He hasn't faced a ton of it. And based on the scouting reports that I'd read, they think he could struggle with it some. Personally, I'm not sure about that. I think this kid's a competitor, man. He just wants to beat people. And when you take that dog attitude to press man corners who have that dog attitude, it's just a dog fight, you know. His athletic traits say that he'll be able to stick around in that fight. But his agility, like I said, it's average based on the testing. Another thing where, like we said with the last guy, He's still kind of learning how to use it on the field in his routes. You know, his route tree isn't the most developed thing on earth, so that's going to take a little bit of time. But we know he has the tools to do it. And every sign here is pointing to the work ethic to achieve it. And then the last thing here is just not as explosive in and out of his route, like in his route breaks. Like, you know, when say that you're running like a deep corner route, when he hits, say it's the 15-yard line, 15 yards downfield, and he's going to break out towards the sideline.
He gives those.
When he hits that break, he's not immediately separating from the guy. He's not using his explosiveness to just burst away from that guy. Some of that could be like route running technique and understanding and savviness. Because his testing here points to a guy who is as explosive as anybody. You're jumping 41 inches in the air. You have some serious burst, but it's not coming through in his route running. So that when you hear about guys who need some development in their route running or lack of route tree, a lot of times that's what you're really talking about. It's not that they don't understand how to run in that shape or direction. It's that it's not all there. They're having to think it through as they go. They're having to think about how many yards am I from the line of scrimmage, and their muscle memory just isn't there to hit that cut on a dime. So that's where this guy will take a little bit of development, but I mean, I think he's going to be very good. He also just graduated with honors from the engineering college at Cincinnati. So very smart guy as well.
Yeah. No, so you get the full package when you draft Alec Pierce, and he's a local kid.
He's going to be at the Bears local day next week.
Oh, really? Perfect.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that NFL franchises have missed out on in the last 2 years because of COVID was those local pro days. And yeah, it's not necessarily like set in stone that you'll be signing players from those pro days, but kind of to the point that we were talking about earlier, it gives you that opportunity to look at a guy that is playing two states over at Cincinnati, right in front of you, running routes with potential backup quarterbacks that you could select later, you know, sign in UDFAs for practice squad, yeah, something like that. So gotta love the NFL trying to do stuff like that again, obviously with the world opening back up, but still want a minor league system of some sorts that they deserve, because there's a need for it, especially on the developmental side, but that's a conversation for another day. Why don't you roll into the next prospect? Let's see who we got next here.
Yeah. Next up, we got George Pickens here. Ooh, who admittedly is the fan I have not looked at Pickens as much as I had the previous two.
That's the fight guy. Oh my god, that's the fight guy. He punched the dude. Was it Georgia Tech? I think it was
Georgia Tech. Yeah, it was Georgia Tech.
Oh, hold on. Can you pull the fight video up too?
I don't got it. I would pull it up, but my computer might freeze on me. I'm already doing two things, and it's not good for this stuff.
I'm going to try and pull it up while you're talking.
Rock it. So, George Pickens, extremely athletic. Another guy's extremely athletic. 6'3". He's a little lighter, though. Thinner frame. Comes in at 195. Long arms, but small hands. And honestly, his testing was not as impressive as I thought it would have been. Yeah. But this guy he has the makings of a number one wide receiver. Absolutely. Physically.
I think he was George as well. If you look at George's receivers from last year, in my eyes, yeah, they're number one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, most of these guys are college number one receiver, though. So I should specify that. He has the makings of a number one NFL wide receiver.
Yeah.
Physically, he's got dog mentality. I mean, he punched the guy at Georgia Tech. Yeah, but, he's a dog. He's got
dog mentality. Check your DMs after you're done breaking them down. We'll wrap up with his UFC fight at Stadium.
I mean, he's going to go win contested catches. This guy just wants to dominate on a lot of levels. Obviously, some character concerns. Suspended for fighting in that Georgia Tech game. He missed the first half of a college football playoff game because of that, I believe. So, wasn't the smartest decision he ever made. He almost missed the whole game, I think. I was reading earlier. that they were considering suspending him for the full game. He was suspended a second time for breaking team rules. That one is very unspecific, and I'm not sure what he did, but yeah, he got suspended for it. He's a creative route runner. This guy knows how to create space in his routes. Very natural at finding space, making space, setting his opponent up. It's not something that he has. He's not a technician. Yeah. But he's very good at it, if that makes sense. He's not
he knows what he wants,
the most nuanced with details, but it comes naturally to him. Okay. And he's a dog, man. Just his against press coverage, he's going to be hand fighting the whole way. He knows how to get his guy off of him and create enough space to get that ball. He can be taken out of rhythm by stronger press corners, though. Guys who can kind of dictate his 195-pound frame. I mean, this guy's the same height as the last two guys we talked about, but he's 15 pounds lighter.
With an attitude problem.
With an attitude.
Yeah.
So. And then he tore his ACL at the start of this past season. He played the last four games of the season. So he did put that tape out there that, you know, he's still.
That's pretty impressive. That's a very.
He came back. Yeah. His comps here, his best comp here that I found was Kenny Golladay, his best and most realistic. Cause I wasn't trying to just pull, like, I was searching all over online for comps for all these guys. And, you know, someone somewhere is going to comp any receiver they want to Terrell Owens or Randy Moss. But, like, is that really realistic? I was trying to find guys who made sense. Physically, pretty similar to Terrace Marshall out in Carolina and Justin Hunter. But Kenny Golladay was the closest physically and just kind of where I think their games are. Their play style, their athletic ability, that type of stuff.
So one thing that we haven't talked about with the other prospects that I think light needs to be shed upon is the definitely not made up fun fact. And for George Pickens, that definitely not made up fun fact is football is his second love. His first love was and always will be organizing flash mobs. So incredible work. Just like on the side and the bottom, I've been looking at those and cracking up at those. For our audio listeners,
I've been talking to agents, talking to family members, trying to find all these fun facts on these guys, and this was a shocking one.
Hey, flash mobs, face punches, hand fighting at the line. I don't know. Sounds like a pretty gritty guy. I sent to you on Twitter the video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to pull that up. I'll do it after the show.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see who we got next here. Oh, so I keep saying one of my favorite players in the draft. That's because most of these guys are some of my favorite players in the draft because I picked out who we're going to talk about. But okay. Tyler Smith, if you read my article about the nastiest offensive lineman in the draft from about a week ago, he was first team all nasty. Offensive tackle. This dude likes to shake it up a little bit. Like it likes to brawl a little bit. High RAS, not outstanding, coming at 8.76, but he's definitely an athlete. Big old hands, 10¾-inch hands. This dude's got mitts.
Yeah,
when he gets his hands on you, you're done. He ain't letting go. 25 bench reps. So along with those hands, He's got the upper body strength to dictate where you're going, dictate your direction, where your pads are facing, you know, any of that. I don't really care about 40-yard dash for an offensive lineman, but he's above average in the 10-yard split, which is something I care about on the line. I want to see how fast these guys can explode out of a stance and get 10 yards downfield. And he's above average in that aspect. has the agility to get out on the move, to get out and reach blocks on the second level. So this is a guy who can definitely make a move inside to offensive guard, where his aggressiveness might actually suit him better. But at the same time, if you want him to tackle, there's no reason you can't put him there first and develop him. Just a violent disposition on this dude. Can fit any scheme, really. He's got the athletic traits for any scheme, and his nastiness will go anywhere. It'll play anywhere.
First team all nasties forever. That banner flies.
Absolutely. Forever. Absolutely. As comes with the strength I talked about and the mitts for hands, this dude can run block all day, every day. The question with him is more in pass pro. What was that?
I said, we run the football. We run the hell out of it.
Yeah. Raw and undisciplined in his technique in pass pro. Probably needs a complete overhaul. All indications I've found is he's willing to learn. He's not an uncoachable guy. There were no red flags with him as far as character goes. So that's definitely a plus when you have a raw guy. There's nothing worse than drafting a raw player who needs a lot of technique work who doesn't want to learn. His hands are strong, but they don't know where they're going. He's like Ricky Bobby in some ways. He just doesn't know what to do with them. Yeah. And just he needs to kind of meditate a little and find a little balance in his play, a little more control. Decide when to bring that aggression and when to use the opponent's aggression to his advantage. So he's not always meeting aggression with aggression, or, you know, a guy like Khalil Mack will eat up your aggression and just use it against you, you know?
Needs a little more finesse in his game.
Yeah, he just needs to find better situations to use that. I think Kyle Long was a little bit of the same way when he got here, where he was just, you know, a tank who wanted to run over everything, but a lot when he found a little nuance in his game, it helped him.
Yeah.
Let's see. Comps here are outstanding. I had a hard time finding bad comps for him, actually. I'm sure there are plenty out there, but as I said, this is also one of my favorite offensive linemen in this class, so I just wanted to pick the good comps too. Yeah. Trey Smith was a guy that Kansas City drafted last year, which means Ryan Poles drafted last year. Because Ryan Poles led that overhaul, their offensive line. And Trey Smith is a nasty dude, nasty offensive tackle, very similar physically. Kelechi Osemele is another comp here, which fits the athletic profile, fits kind of the nastiness, and was a heck of a player before some of the injuries that he had. And the third is former Bears legend Jermon Bushrod.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bushy.
Very very similar physical profiles, but I'll say Bushrod was probably at least a little more controlled in his play than I would expect Tyler Smith to even be.
And where did he go? Where did he go to school?
He is at Tulsa.
Oh, you know we got that Tulsa connection.
Yeah.
Travis Gibson went there.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
I mean, Tulsa and Tulane are literally the same school. Ask anyone who's on college football or college basketball, they're the same school.
Dude, I get them mixed up constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly. Like, I was
South too. One I think is Louisiana and the other is Oklahoma. Tulsa's Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was doing a podcast a few days ago where we had a Chris Watt on as a guest.
Yeah,
and he was coaching at Tulane last year, and I almost said Tulsa like five times.
Yeah, trust me, you're not alone in that aspect. But yeah. I mean, I actually, now that I think about it, I think I know who you're talking about with Tyler Smith, because as a degenerate gambler, I've watched a lot more Tulsa games than your average college football fan. So.
Yeah. He jumps out on film, man. This dude explodes into the defensive line. It's beautiful.
Yeah. What's his size looking like?
You said he is. Yeah, 324 pounds, sitting at 6'5". Got average arm length, yeah, which is fine. I mean, as long as he can figure out his hands, yeah. I mean, you can deal with average on arm length. And especially if he moves inside, you can deal with that. On the outside, that can make his development a little tougher on him, just not having that length to lean on.
But, I mean, dude, as a pulling guard – I would love to see him just mash people at the second level, but also too, like, his size screams tackle.
Yeah, so absolutely.
We'll see what happens if they pick a guy like him. I like the pick.
Yeah. So his definitely not made up fun fact is actually one of the two true facts in all of this database I've built. There's only two of them that are true. That's
incredible.
One person he would most like to meet, dead or alive, would be Hannibal Barca. And I do not remember who Hannibal Barca is, but his player profile on Tulsa's website said this, just randomly.
Hannibal Barca. Hannibal was a Carthaginian. Yeah, he was that. General and statesman. Who commanded the forces, dude, I sound like Tyson right now, commanded the forces of Carthage in their battle against the Roman Republic during the Second Punic War. He is widely regarded as one of the greatest military commanders in history. So if the Bears don't draft him, he's probably going to the Commanders.
Oh, God. I hope not for his sake.
Tinfoil hat theory, which, since I have the platform to say it, and we won't get into details because it's not important, but on the topic of Commanders, Daniel Snyder should be nowhere near an NFL franchise.
No, he really shouldn't.
No. Back to the good stuff.
Based on the fun fact, I'm assuming that Tyler Smith is a pretty smart dude.
Yeah. And a warrior. And a warrior, too.
Yeah.
I would want with me in an alley if I got into a fight, let's say.
Definitely. All right. Next up here, Abraham Lucas, giving us a Mike Leach special on it. Washington State, Wazoo, guy played for Mike Leach for 2 years, played this last year under the new coach. So I believe he's a junior. He started playing as a true freshman. First team all Pac-12, I think, as a true freshman, considered like the best pass blocking offensive lineman there. It might have been redshirt. I think it was true freshman though. Either way, you're winning first team all Pac-12 as a true freshman. You got some real natural skills. 9.7 RAS. This guy is an extreme athlete for the position. 6'6", 315 pounds. You watch his feet. You watch this dude move in pass pro. You would not believe that he's 6'6". Like, his feet are just – he is an athlete, an absolute athlete. Mitts for hands, average length, a little below average length, but generally average. Honestly, this dude is good enough in pass pro. I'm not even worried about his length. Just his movement ability is extremely impressive.
10-yard split, that 10-yard split too, and the
five
flat. Is that the guy who ran the fastest 40 as an offensive lineman at the combine at 5 flat?
It might have been.
That's pretty high up there.
No, someone had to be faster because it's only light green in the graphic. If it was dark green, he might have been the fastest, but there were a few faster then. 10-yard split comes in at 169, averages 175. So this dude can explode off the ball. I don't know if I want him exploding off the ball yet because he doesn't really know what he's doing in run blocking, playing in Mike Leach's air raid for so long. This guy is already very natural at the tougher thing to learn, which is pass pro. And as long as he has a physical mentality, he can be very good in run blocking too. Right. He shows mirror and pass pro that is just unteachable. Like he gets it. It's just easy, or I shouldn't say easy. It's just natural to him. And his hands, he knows how to use them, which for a guy, especially a guy who's a little younger as a prospect, hand usage is something that is tough to learn, tough to teach. And he's got it down pretty well. Hand location and accuracy, on the other hand, are something that he needs to get better at.
You don't need any more holding calls than we got last year.
Yeah. Well, even aside from just holding calls, when he gives his punch out there off the line, he's too wide. He's hitting out here, not in here.
Yeah.
Not in like on the chest, but out on the shoulders, which just it's easy to miss when you're out here, and then the defender's in you. You know, defender just gets right into your pads and dictates it from there. That punch timing and placement is something that he needs to work on. Plays too tall. He's 6'6". This guy is not someone you're going to be moving inside to guard. This guy's a tackle all the way. And needs to get a little bit better with understanding changing fronts in front of him pre-snap, how they change post-snap, what different stunts or blitzes they might be bringing. He just needs to learn that a little better. But I think the capacity's there for him to understand it. And any system that's going to be passing a lot, this is a guy that you probably want to take a flyer on just because of how natural his pass protection instincts are. And also, he's written and sold the lyrics to 3 Nashville country hits over the past 5 years.
That's incredible. A little honky-tonk action.
So, Abraham Lucas is a guy that I like. I don't love. I love nasty offensive linemen a little too much, I think. And I think Abraham Lucas would be a very smart pick, which makes me glad I'm not making the picks, because I wouldn't make the smart pick. I'd want the nasty guy. But,
it's a very good point.
I don't think he lacks a nasty attitude as much as he doesn't live by a nasty attitude, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I think, like, if you can get him to act on it more, or to necessarily maybe just live by it, then you could become a little bit more of a nastier football player, right?
Yeah. Well, and if I'm being completely frank, I don't know if I want my offensive tackles to be the nastiest guys around.
Yeah.
I want them to have a little more patience, you know, a little more level-headedness, level attitude. The inside guys, I want to be maulers and brawlers. I want the outside guys to be smart.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you on that. You got anybody else left in the chamber?
Let's see. We got one more offensive lineman, I think. I think this is the last one.
Oh, Maxton guy.
Yeah.
Chippewa.
Yeah. Some Bernard Raymond. I think that's how you say his name.
That's another guy who's been – you've been hearing his name a lot more as this process comes to fruition and we're getting closer.
Yeah. So, big boards are all over the place with this guy. I think the average rank that we had in the initial graphic was like 33. Some have him going in the first round. Some have him fall into the third round. There's a lot of different opinions on him. Converted from tight end 2 years ago, so he never played an offensive line except for blocking as a tight end until 2 years ago. He's a mountain, 6'6", little light at 300 pounds, short arms, about an inch shorter than average, which is worrying, but he's got the strength to really be able to control guys, 30 bench reps. And he's just an extreme athlete. 9.86 relative athletic score. He was born in, I want to say, Germany. I think he's a military kid.
You said Germany?
I think it's somewhere in Europe. I think it was Germany, though.
And another topic on the word born and when he was born 25 years ago, and that's a serious character issue. He's an old man.
So that's why there's the slash other in there, because I couldn't really call that character, but I wanted to put it somewhere in here.
Hell no, that's a character issue, that grandpa trying to come to the NFL draft.
In September, he's turning 25 years old, and he's pretty raw as an offensive tackle because he's only played it for 2 years. The question is it worth trying to develop a 25-year-old who might not really figure it out for another 2-3 years?
It's a risky one right there.
He shows the grit out on the field. He likes contact, plays through the whistle. His athleticism gives him a lot of opportunities to recover without technique when he gets beat, and make second efforts to repair a block. And he's light, but he's strong. So
303, it's kind of small.
It's really why so many people are so split on this guy. Like at 6'6", 303 is definitely light. But he put up 30 bench reps. This guy puts in plenty of work in the gym. At 25 years old, I question whether he can add weight.
You also got to remember he was a tight end too, so that weight that he's added is all – like to be 303, he had to add a lot of weight. I don't know where he was playing that before, but he wasn't 303.
I'm not sure. No. I mean, he's added like 60 pounds in the last 2 years.
That's insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe you get him in a strength – NFL strength conditioning program with the right food. He can keep adding. It's just – I don't think you know until you get him in the building. At 25 years old, he's not growing, you know. He's going to take patience to figure this thing out. He's almost robotic in his pass pro. Doesn't react to unforeseen things all that great. Just not natural to the position yet, which is understandable when you've only been playing it for 2 years. But it's just a question of whether you think you can get it to click quickly for him. His comps, I mean, the first one is Lane Johnson. Physically, this dude is up there. But Lane Johnson wasn't 25 coming into the league.
I don't know.
And had played the position a lot longer. You also got Sebastian Vollmer and Brian O'Neill as the other comps. And Bernard here looks down upon people who drink skim milk. Considers it a serious character flaw.
I mean, yeah. One would say it is. I mean, it's literally watered down milk. That shit is nasty.
Absolutely.
We're a whole milk podcast.
100% all the way. Not even that 2% stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's the last guy here. So those are the guys who I'm kind of interested in at the moment. For the Bears. Yeah.
And I think like one final note to wrap up on ramen is like I said ramen like the food, but
that might be right. I should put a phonetic spelling in this.
Yeah, like, you know, if you don't get this signing right, Ryan Poles, you're gonna be eating ramen. I'm not too sold on spending a second round draft pick on a player that has only played the position for 2 years. You know,
neither am I.
You see this a lot with like the converted like power forward that's playing tight end. But those guys are UDFAs. Those guys are 5th, 6th, and 7th round picks. I'm not saying the kid's not going to be good or he's not a great prospect, but I want someone who was born playing little league football with a stripe on their goddamn helmet, running, you know, laps around the field with a garbage bag on. I want someone who was born to be an offensive lineman. Someone that we pick in the second round. I'm not necessarily sold on that. But
who was the guy that Eagles took a few years back, the rugby player? They took him in like the 7th round. He's their starting tackle now.
Look it up, but
So he was kind of similar to this. I think he was a little older, not 25, but a little older, inexperienced in the NFL, but also he got to be their swing tackle for like 3 years playing behind Jason Peters and Lane Johnson. Like,
yeah, so he learned from literally the best.
Yeah, and wasn't pressed into play immediately, which is where my worry would be with Raymond.
Yeah, we need that guy that's ready now. And, yeah, I mean, for me to jump off the ledge, if he's not ready now at 25, when will he be ready? We don't have the time to wait, so we'll see what happens. But I think, like, again, blew me out of the water. I did not expect the detail, the level of detail on this for the show today. So this was a treat to have and something that I look forward to looking at over the next month or so prior to the NFL draft. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, we're going to start pumping out the draft coverage. Pro days have all pretty much taken place. The combine, obviously, is dead and gone. That happened about a month ago. But, yeah, we're gonna get together as a group and put together like an official mock draft. It'll be a little bit different than last year because we did individual articles for each pick, but there will still be a plethora of draft coverage headed up by myself and Quentin over here, who I guess I'm just like the voice and Quentin is the stats and the numbers. But I mean, dude, Quentin put the team on his back today. Greg Jennings.
Thanks. I'm glad to.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll keep you guys posted. I don't want to put a date on the next podcast, but with the draft coming up, it's going to be a very busy time and expect a lot of written work. And then two, we will be hosting a live stream during the draft. So if you don't want to listen to Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and whoever the heck else they got covering the draft nowadays, you want to sit back, drink a couple beers. Maybe we'll have people on the stream to talk about picks. If, you know, say you're not a Bears fan, you're a fan of another team and you want to come on and vent about your team, all for it. But that's another discussion for another day. This was Bears on Tap presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300. And then you can follow my co-host Quentin at ButtKissStats. Stay tuned to our website, ontapsportsnet.com, for all this written work. And then check Quentin's Twitter out, because he puts a lot of, you know, he had the free agency model. He has this model for the draft. And I'm pretty sure you said you have this for every single team.
Yeah. So this
it's extensive. Here.
This first graphic has that this is a drop down box right here that you can pick any team. And it'll give you all this same information. And it's got, for these profiles, I got about 360 players worth of profiles in there. It's not – the document isn't released yet. I'm still working on injury data and character issue data. But in the next week or two, it will be out.
Yeah, so if you're going to be in this year's draft and you were born – at or around 1997, scrub that from the internet, because this guy's going to put it in the database, and then that'll be there forever. But, yeah, this was a fun episode, an informative episode. And for our people that, you know, weren't as familiar with draft prospects coming into this episode, I hope you took a couple, you know, learning points from these prospects away. And honestly, I'm really looking forward to seeing which way it goes, but we'll be here to cover it for you, whether it goes right, whether it goes wrong, or whether we end up trading draft picks, because that seems to happen every single draft.
Trade down.
Hey, trade, yeah, trade down. I like the stick and pick, but we know we'll probably get one trade. But like I said, this was Bears on Tap presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. We'll be back with you here in the near future, and bear down.
Bear down.